This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. You've made the commitment.
You caught the vision.
You want your family to serve God.
But sometimes it's hard to put feet on that vision.
Hey, Hal, do visions have feet?
Shh. How do you get from principle to practice?
What do you need to know about the issues affecting your family?
How do you apply God's Word in the 21st century?
Let's talk about it.
This is Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Hal.
And this is Melanie.
And we want to welcome you to another episode of Making Biblical Family Life Practical. And, you know, one of the big practical concerns this time of year is, what in the world are we going to buy for those important Christmas gifts?
I love Christmas.
Yeah.
I do. I love the celebratory stuff. I love the colors, the smells, the greenery. And I love giving gifts to the people I love.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that's part of it. I mean, honest to goodness, it is, you know, that's a biblical thing, to give gifts to celebrate important events. That's something we've got plenty of examples in Scripture about. And so, you know, that's living a biblical family life when we give each other gifts to celebrate some great event in God's dealings with our family and with history.
And it doesn't have to be greedy or commercialized or materialistic.
Okay. Well, it shouldn't be those things. It often is those things, but it doesn't have to be.
Well, you know, I think, but though, people just assume that when you talk about gifts, that that's what's going on. They assume that it's a materialistic thing with rude children whining about what they did or didn't get. And it doesn't have to be that way at all.
No. And so, you know, we want to talk about, well, what can you do to make the holiday season, even the gift-giving part of it, something that is honoring to God, that is Christ-focused, that will be a good and a positive thing in our family, and not just one of those seasons that you say, I'm just glad when we get over with it. You know, that's one of the things we want to talk about, because, you know, it's not just that it's a cultural expectation, but it is something that we take joy from it too. You know, to give people a gift which brings them joy, which brings them pleasure, which maybe teaches them something, which maybe provides for a need, all of those things, we get to share in the joy by being the giver. And so, you know, that's something that we can get into as well. It's not just a matter of, I have this list and I got to find Santa because I really want all of these things for me. But, you know, the joy of going out and shopping for something special, something meaningful, something that will be good for the person you're giving it to.
I think you hit a key there, that it's part of it is about managing expectations and about teaching your kids to take joy in giving. Because when we put the emphasis not on what's on your Christmas list, but on what are you going to do for this brother or for this sister or for your grandmother? And we put the emphasis on ministry and not on what I can get. And, y'all, I apologize for my voice. I've got a horrible cold. Mm-hmm. It's driving me crazy. I know it's driving you crazy. But I think when you put that emphasis on ministry instead of me, it changes everything.
And, you know, you talk about managing expectations, and a lot of times people use that cynically when they talk about, okay, we're gonna downsize, we're gonna tell everybody, you know, quell your enthusiasm. This is gonna be a cold oatmeal kind of experience for you. But honestly, that is a legitimate thing, and I think that we parents do a lot to, let's say, to train, to shape, to mold the expectations that our children have, not just around the Christmas tree, but really all year long.
Well, you know, I think part of the greediness, the materialism, is born in the idea of letting kids think that it's Santa Claus that's bringing everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because why shouldn't you ask for the world if it's someone who's not having to pay a price to give it to you?
If it's free and a bottomless well of wonderful paradise type of gifts. Yeah, I mean, why not ask for the moon if it's all, you know, if it's all fabricated by Santa Claus? But yeah, you know, I think we do that a lot with our kids to say, well, I'm so sorry that I can't give every single one of my children a new car when they turn 16. Who says they need a new car? You know, we right. give them these expectations, we feed these expectations, and if we end up with kids that feel entitled to things, why are we surprised?
Really?
And so...
So let's talk about how some of the things that you can give your kids that will be build their character and improve their lives, make them more godly, make life more fun for them without making them materialistic, greedy little pigs.
Okay. Well, let's talk about that. Well, okay, how about first things? How about something which is not just about consumption? That's one of the things that people, you know, this is the consumer time of year. We want to consume everything. We want to consume all of the fudge, all of the sporting goods, all of the toys on TV. But what about things that are productive, things that are constructive, things where you go out and you make something, where you improve things by using this gift?
Well, you know, I think construction toys are especially appropriate for boys. Mm-hmm. And yeah. really all ages, you know, little tiny kids, you might give them architectural blocks, Legos. Fisher Technics are pretty awesome.
Yeah.
You know, like yeah. Fisher oh, yeah. Technics were originally engineering models. And so yeah. they really mm-hmm. stick together and they work, and their machines actually work when you build something.
Yeah.
Love those things. Our kids always love those.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Brio and train sets. But also, you know, constructive stuff includes stuff like model building.
Mm-hmm.
And so that might be model kits like you and I grew up on.
Yeah, that could be everything from a kit to build a square rig schooner model to modeling clay. I mean, anything where you're, you know, you're using your hands, your fine motor coordination to take parts, components, materials, and to create something out of it. I mean, that really opens up a world of stuff for a child, you know, to say, hey, you know what? You can create, invent, you can do things.
Well, some examples. All right. Okay, for girls.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no idea what that beep is. If you can figure out what it is, tell me and I will stop whatever's beeping. For girls,
mm-hmm.
our girls love jewelry making kits. They love, one of them got a book that helped her learn how to knit
mm-hmm.
and knitting tools. You know, well, one of our daughter's favorite gifts for her birthday was a sewing machine. I gave her a regular adult sewing machine.
You know, one of the things about that too is that you can, sometimes you can find the grown-up tool for not much that different than you would pay for the child's toy version of it, you know, to say, hey, the sewing machine is a good example, mm-hmm. you know, that you, I remember one of the things that was a big, you know, it was a popular toy, when we were little kids was a toy oven. It basically used a great big light bulb and you could, you know, kind of cook things, but mm-hmm. really and truly, I mean, for the money that you would spend on a toy, you could actually buy a cookbook and you could actually buy ingredients or, you know, some simple kitchen implements so that a young lady or a young guy, I mean, guys cook too, can actually learn to start cooking.
Well, you know, it's kind of, some things a kit will help them get started.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we're about to release a new chainmail kit. And we had such a hard time figuring out what to put in it. I would have had a really hard time if one of my children said, I want to start doing chainmail, go buy me the stuff. You know, it took a lot of research.
But when you get a kit and you say, oh, okay, I see. There's just a couple of tools. Here's the materials and I need a pattern.
And here's the directions.
And once you learn how to do that, you can replenish the supplies and you can just, you know, build on it.
So a kit can help, you know, if it's something like that, it's kind of, it's a skill that they're going to need to learn. It's something new they're going to need to learn about. In other cases, regular tools. Our boys have loved getting, when they're around 13, getting briefcases and power tools.
Right, yeah.
You know, and you can get those things really inexpensively this time of year.
They are. I was over at one of the homeowner stores here recently, and, you know, this time of year, they put stuff on such deep markdowns, and it's not junk. I mean, they're good quality tools. They're just the basic level stuff. and it's packaged and it's giftable and all the rest of that. And, you know, that kind of plays into another thing, too. Sometimes it's not the kit, but sometimes it's the plan and the vision. One of the neatest things that we got, and I really enjoyed it, was the boys a few years ago got a book on building boats.
Oh, hasn't that been fun?
And it's been so much fun. We have built, what, three boats now?
Yes.
I think we've built three boats as a family because this very simple guidebook, it was actually written for boys back in 1910, that the author just basically said, well, don't wait for your parents to buy you a canoe. Go out and build one. Here's how you do it. And, you know, I never really thought that you could do something like that. But see, something like that can open up a whole realm, a lifelong enjoyment for a young person.
I remember reading a long time ago that play is a child's work. And our culture has really moved away from that. But
where they've kind of made play more about entertainment.
Yes. And yet this kind of imaginative, constructive play, mm-hmm. like you said, can bless their whole lives. Imaginative play.
Okay. So like you say, somebody has said, and I agree with this wholeheartedly, that so much of the play of a child is sort of a rehearsal for adulthood.
Yes.
You know, a little girl with her doll is rehearsing the role of being a mother. You know, she's playing at being a mommy, and she's imitating what she sees her mother do, and she's thinking, trying this role on for size. You know, a little boy with his toy guns or something, who's pretending to be a soldier or pretending to be a policeman or something. You know, he's trying on these different roles in his imagination to say, hey, this is something that, what would this be like? Is this something I'd like to do when I grow up? And those kind of things, those kind of things are great.
And it doesn't have to be expensive. Mm-hmm. You know, dress-up things can be gotten very cheaply, a couple different things.
Mm-hmm.
Army supply stores.
Yeah, the old Army Navy surplus, they're still around. You can still find them.
Sometimes doubling up on things that they can use for regular clothing. Like I remember one year giving our little boys cowboy boots, and they wore them to church. This was when we lived in Louisiana. That's pretty normal down there.
Right.
They wore them to church, so it doubled as their church shoes. But those boys love those things so much.
Mm-hmm.
You can get inexpensive costumes at things like Oriental Trading Company, you know, just kind of party favor places.
Mm-hmm.
And because it doesn't have to be a fancy, expensive costume. It's merely a crutch for their imagination.
It's just it's a prop. It just gives a little framework. Now, it's a little late. It's a little late to do this now, but keep a note for next year. You can get so many costume items for, you know, pennies on the dollar after Halloween.
Yes.
Now, a lot of stuff on Halloween just needs to go to the incinerator. But, you know, a lot of the costume stuff can be adapted, can be used. You know, the capes don't have to be vampire capes. You can adapt them to be, you know, royal capes of some sort. So things like that, you can adapt things from their past use. Goodwill.
Well, you know, that describes another thing that you need to mention.
Yeah.
That kits and, like, Lego kits and things can be adapted by removing one scary piece.
Yes.
You know, or repurposing. Like, one year, I can't even remember what it was, but we got this Lego kit that I turned into a paleontology expedition because that's what our kids were interested in.
Yeah.
You know, you can repurpose kits. You can create new stories for kits. You want to just fire their imagination. But buy durable stuff or junk. You know, buy either stuff like cheapo costumes that will go in the trash in a few months and that's fine.
Yeah.
Or buy the durable stuff like Playmobil and Lego that lasts forever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have six sons. How many pieces of Lego do you think we have in this house?
Tens of thousands.
At least.
I'm sure. We've got bins of them.
And
it's incredible.
Sore feet to prove it.
Oh, wow. Just incredible. Yeah. But
you know, but they still...
They last forever.
The one we bought for our adult children, the ones we bought for them, still look fine for the younger ones.
Yeah. I mean, they don't wear out.
Yeah. And so, you know, even the older kids need some inspiration for their imagination.
Okay.
You know, this year, people have been asking us for years to put that poem that we read in our Raising Real Men workshop.
Uh-huh.
The Men of Iron that was written by our oldest son.
Men of Iron with Hearts of Gold. Yeah.
Yes, they've been begging us to put on a poster, and this year we did it. It turned out great.
Mm-hmm.
And what a beautiful thing to put on your teen's wall, your preteen's wall, to say, you know, this is the kind of man you need to be.
Yeah,
do you
think
to
about
inspire
this.
Them to think of themselves
mm-hmm.
as godly heroes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
what about guns, baby?
Oh.
Now, we're going to talk about
promote,
that some next year,
do we promote,
next week.
Do we allow toys of violence?
Well, we're going to talk about that at length next week.
You bet. Yeah, we do. But we'll talk about that later. But
we will, because we're gonna help you get prepared to answer the questions from your liberal relatives.
Okay. But.
But what?
But that is a legitimate thing. And, you know, boys, you find out even if you withhold, let's say, military toys from your child, boys find a way to invent them. You know,
oh, I remember when we lived in California.
Yeah.
A mom telling me very firmly that she would never allow her son to play with toys of violence.
Hmm.
And I looked over her shoulder and he'd broken a branch out of a tree and was Tommy gunning all the other children.
Okay. Well, let's shape that. Like I said, we'll talk about it
at
length.
Let's teach him to use it in a godly way.
Teach him to use it in a godly way. But that is a legitimate thing, we believe, and we'll explain that. We'll explain why, right?
And we have a lot of cool stuff on our site that it will fire their imaginations without mm-hmm. them killing each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, very good.
Well, and again, even for older kids, I was surprised last year
mm-hmm.
our older boys begged us to carry training swords. I thought, what in the world is a training sword?
A training sword is a heavy duty, it's a sword used to train you how to use a broadsword, but it doesn't have an edge on it. And
yeah.
it's not metal. It's made out of a heavyweight plastic.
And but it's the same heft and balance.
Yeah, it's got the same weight and balance as a real sword. Well, the idea being that, yeah, you can exercise with this. You can actually learn how would a knight have used a broadsword. And, you know, this is athletic equipment, really.
Oh, all our kids loved them. Up to the adults.
Yeah.
They all loved them. It was fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, books and games is another good thing. Let's talk about games for a minute. Because, you know, games... we had a hard time in the early days of our family because the older kids want to play strategy games.
Yeah.
And the younger kids just want to move the man, but they can't really compete on the same strategic level as the older kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then we learned to let them play in teams.
Yeah, because then you can just say, all right, you be the mastermind, but don't you touch the piece.
Dog,
let your little sister...
Dog,
do that.
Please do not lick the microphone. It makes weird noises to these poor people.
Yeah, that's one of our rules in the family. We do not lick the microphone.
Yes.
Okay, not even that end of it, all right?
Den, dog.
Go. No, well, she can't get past. Okay. So, disregard. We have dogs. Okay.
But what are some of our favorite games?
Okay, I tell you what. One that's been a long-time favorite is an old French card game called Mealborn.
It's a card game, but it's an auto race game.
It's an auto racing game. It's like a road rally. And one of the things I like about it is there's no reading. You don't have to read it. I mean, your 4-year-old maybe have a little trouble, but your 5-year-old can play it. And
Pit's another one like that.
Yeah.
Pit, it's a loud game. If you don't like loud games, you don't want Pit. But Pit is a very old game. Theodore mm-hmm. Roosevelt used to like it.
Yeah, it was brand new when Theodore Roosevelt was in office, and he thought it was just bully. He loved it, yeah.
It's a game of the Chicago Stock Exchange.
Yeah, and so if you've never seen it played, I mean, it's one of these things where everybody gets a commodity. You get a handful of commodity shares, and when they hit the bell to start the round of trading, everybody jumps up and starts yelling out what they've got and what they're looking for. I mean, it's just like being on the commodity trading floor.
Let's talk for a minute about books. You mm-hmm. know, we have taught our guys that the very best books are the treasures you find in old bookstores.
The library book sales.
And so they don't expect new books. In fact, they get really excited if they get old, rare books.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's something that it's really cool to teach your children, that old books tend to be good books. But
yeah.
Audiobooks have been a real blessing to our family because, you know, it's hard to find the time to read aloud. It takes a lot of time and energy. And you got to keep everybody quiet and you get distracted.
Mm-hmm.
But audiobooks do the reading aloud for you and mean that you can read aloud in the van. Our van's too noisy for me to read aloud in the van. But the audiobook can read aloud for you in the van. It lets all of us experience the book at one time.
And there's a lot of value to that. That's something that your whole family can enjoy together. And it's also a way to avoid if you're like, well... I remember the story Linus Van Pelt was reading in Peanuts. He was reading The Brothers Karamazov, And somebody asked him, well, how do you pronounce all those Russian names? He said, I just bleep over them. Well, you know, you don't have to bleep over it. You can listen to these things with foreign names, foreign places and such, and just glide right through.
You know, one thing I love about audiobooks, too, is it teaches our children what the written word sounds like, which improves their reading comprehension. And I think it makes them better writers.
That's part of the reason they say to read aloud to your kids, so that they hear structured, the structure of the written word is a little different than the conversational word.
It sure is.
And you really start to appreciate that when you start trying to write conversationally.
Yeah.
And you realize if I write like I speak, it sounds, you know, uneducated at best.
Yes.
But something to give them a chance to hear the spoken word
there's so many things we carry audiobooks on our site.
Yeah. Well, because we've been blessed by them.
And we've got new ones this year. Men of Iron by Howard Pyle, which has been a favorite of our children.
A good rip-snorter knight in shining armor type of tale.
Defending his family's honor.
Yes, that's a good one.
And Five Little Peppers.
And that was one that you really enjoyed growing up. Right?
And our boys enjoyed it too, because it has girl characters and boy characters. And it teaches contentment and joy even when there's not much stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a really good one. Pollyanna is another one that teaches gratefulness that we've got.
Right.
And the Jay Henney novels. Our guys grew up on those things.
Yeah, the Henney novels. Now, one of the things I really liked about the Henney novels is they're historical novels, and they not only teach character, but they also teach you a lot of history and a lot of geography as you go through them. And so there's all kinds of side benefits.
We probably ought to mention the Cry from Egypt Radio Theater. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, that was A Cry from Egypt has been a bestseller. It's been a runaway award winning book. And now we have it in radio theater with 50 actors. It's really cool.
Yeah, that's not just an audio book.
Come alive.
That's not just an audio book. That's a theater production.
Okay, we can't forget the active things, balls, bicycles, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And again, it doesn't have to be new. You know, one family bought old bicycles and sanded down the pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And gave it to their kids in pieces, and then they painted them and reassembled them together as a family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, what a lot of kids are asking for, though, are video games and devices. What do you think about that, Hal?
Okay. That is worth a lot of discussion. I guess, briefly, the answer would be, it kind of depends.
Yeah.
Because, you know, on the negative side, there are some games and things out there which are just bad. I mean, like,
bad.
Bad, bad. But you know, on the other side, there are some games that are, let's say, neutral.
Yeah.
You know, that they're not destructive or harmful games. They're just entertainment. And there's some that have some educational benefit to them. There's a sociability in some of the video game play. I mean, some of the two-player games, for example, we have friends who have, like, a Wii set up, a Wii console, and those get into some pretty intense competition between people, and it's physical as well. So it's kind of mixed. Now, you know, with the devices, you're talking about laptops, tablets, smartphones, things like that.
And your older teens are going to need some devices.
They will need some of those.
They need to learn how to use that stuff before they're out of your home.
And
how to use it safely and righteously.
Yeah. And so those are appropriate for certain young people at certain times.
But you know, you can hardly avoid the devices and games.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have any, you know, good games, get some good games.
Mm-hmm.
But you can hardly avoid the devices and the games. And so I think you should focus your gift giving on things that are going to build their minds and hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And let the grandparents and the people that you can't talk out of it provide the other stuff.
Yeah.
Let's talk before we go, Hal, about giving gifts of memories and experiences.
I had a friend growing up whose family never did big birthday parties with lots of gifts. Their thing was to do something, to have an experience together. Now, you know, when he's 5 or 6 years old, that experience might be you get to invite a friend and we'll go out and have pizza in a restaurant. I mean, it's not a big deal, but it can be a big event for a young child to have a formal event like that. But yeah, I mean, that, I think as you grow older too, that becomes more and more meaningful to you to say, hey, you know, for for Christmas this year, we're going to set aside the money for you to take a senior trip or to go and visit your friend that moved to Colorado last year and you haven't been able to see them. Well, we will buy you the airline tickets to go see them this spring.
A gym membership that you can't, that the child wants and can't afford.
Mm-hmm.
Or a trip, or a zoo membership for the family. Now you could wrap up some animal books or stuffed animals to give, you know, with that.
You can have kind of themed gift giving sometimes.
Sometimes teens are difficult. One thing I found for our teen boys that was a huge winner was I gave them some retro colognes and old fashioned safety razors. I mean, like stuff like my grandfather used.
Yeah.
And they loved it. That's very hip now.
Uh-huh.
And what's amazing is it's cheap. You know, the stuff that's on the bottom shelves at the drugstore.
Yeah, the
stuff
old
we
brands.
Remember from our kids, Old English and Old Spice and things we remember.
British
from,
Sterling and things like that.
From when we been were there. Kids, yeah. That's super hip now.
That's funny.
And, you know, I gave them real razors and they loved it. Oh, my word.
Mm-hmm.
They loved it tremendously.
Bow ties.
Bow ties, yes, you another
know,
thing.
The neat thing about a bow tie is learning how to tie one.
Yes.
Because that's a skill and most people don't have it. And then, you know, when you have a hand-tied bow tie, not only does it have that little bit of randomness, but when you get done with the evening, you can casually untie it and just hang it around your neck.
And it's show.
And it shows also, hey, I have a hand-tied bow tie.
I am really hip.
I'm hip. I've got skills.
We are out of time. You know what?
Yeah.
I think the essence of giving gifts that don't break the bank, but that instead build our kids' character.
And one little side note on that real quick.
Yeah.
I just want to say, remember this. Now, what you do in your imaginary time is rehearsing for real life.
Yes.
And that means don't sin in your imagination. Don't play at evil. Okay, but play at virtue. If you play at virtue, that will encourage you to act out virtue, right?
Well, and that's how a rubber band gun can be character building, by teaching kids not to use it to persecute, but to use it to hunt and protect.
Right.
You know, to provide and protect. Mm-hmm. So anyway, the essence is you got to manage expectations, teach them to find delight in giving. We ought to do a show about that.
Mm-hmm.
Teach them to find delight in giving and think outside of the ads, you know, that everybody's getting. Think beyond that and get creative because, you know, as long as we've been in ministry, we have not had a lot of money, but we have had some outstandingly amazing Christmases.
Yes, we have.
And some that our kids, I think, will remember all their lives.
Well, we hope you have an outstanding and amazing Christmas as well. And we will have this up on our archive if you want to refer to it later on or share it around.
And we will put this link in the show notes, but a lot of this information is in our gift guide for boys.
Right.
At raisingrealmen.com/gift guide for boys. No caps, no spaces, just gift guide for boys.
That's good. So we do hope you'll come out to our website, raisingrealmen.com, and you can find links to all kinds of helpful information, all kinds of encouraging stuff.
And, you know, the things that we sell on our website are things that our family loves.
It's a curated collection,
yes,
as they say.
Yes, it is. I like that, Hal.
Yeah.
And when you do want to say, though, that when you buy things on our website, it directly supports our continuing ministry.
There you go. And so, see, you get the joy of supporting our ministry, even as you get the joy of giving gifts to your family.
Good things. Gifts like you can feel good about giving.
A double win. Okay, so look,
all right.
We do appreciate it. And we thank you for sharing some time with us this week. And hope that you'll join us again because we release a new program every Monday night on the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. And you can also catch us in the archives at halandmelanie.com/radio.
Look, guys, we love you. Thank you for being here and listening to us. Thank you especially for coming up to us at conferences and telling us that you enjoy it.
Okay, so thanks so much. We appreciate it. We'll look forward to talking with you again, okay?
Bye, y'all.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HalandMelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook/HalandMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.